Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to this morning to City Council Study Session. Met City Council for Thursday, October 31st. Happy Halloween to everybody. I don't see any costumes. What's going on here? That's good. Okay. It's a scary thought to think that they would show up, this staff would show up in costumes. I'm going to ship you running here anyway, Mr. Brady, I'll tell you. First item on the agenda is to review the agenda for next Monday evening's regular City Council meeting. Page 2, items 2 through 3C. No, we're not going to make a comment on that. Items 3D through 4B. See, every once in a while I show some restraint.
I know.
Items 4C through 4E. Items 4F and 4G. Items 4H and 4I. Items 4J and 4K. Items 4L and 4M. Yeah, Councilmember Richens.
On 4M, we looked at the program that those were acquired under, and we'll be reviewing a few potential changes, probably, in community cultural affairs to bring to the council. As is with all federal grants, lots of strings attached to the acquisition of these, and so these are going to need to go forward as is for now. But I think at Community and Cultural Affairs we'll be getting some potential revisions, because the money under this program is almost spent out, and the strings will be changing in some way that is still undefined. So as we go forward, we'll be able to evaluate the money that's left and be able to come to a consensus on the council or some kind of direction on how to deploy those resources in the future. So,
okay.
All right.
Okay. That applies to 4N also, I'm assuming.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Anything on 4O? Items 5A through 6C. Six D. Mr. Wesley, I have not yet, nor has Councilmember Summer, met with the applicant on this. We have some questions, I should say. We met with them over a year ago and did not have a follow-up, and so I would like to pull this until we have a chance to meet with them.
All right.
That's okay?
Sounds good.
Okay. Councilmember Summers concurs. And when we get that, then we'll address it, because I can't support it as is. And I'm sure we'll work things out with the applicant. Okay? Anything else? Okay. Next item is here a presentation, discuss, provide direction on the regional solid waste solution.
Mayor, Council, good morning. Mike Comstock, Director of Solid Waste, here to talk about the regional solutions for solid waste disposal. Joining me today from Solid Waste is Tara Acuna, Ray Frolick, Tim Wilcox, and Sherry Bradley, and Aaron Romaine, who are all part of the team that helped put together MESA's position.
Is anybody left in the office? You had to look?
I think so.
He had to turn around and look to see. Whoa, okay.
He got me off script, so I had to look.
And Aaron, thank you for writing the script for him, by the way. Appreciate that.
How do you know?
There was a reason that she went over there, okay?
Well, regrouping. In addition with us today is Scott Pasternak from SAIC Energy, Environment, and Infrastructure, who was the hired consultant who helped the three cities put this program together. And finally, from Gilbert is John Minkelis, who is the Interim Associate Administrator of Solid Waste, who's here to observe the discussion today. Finally, let me introduce Patrick Murphy, who was designated as the team lead and coordinator for this project. He did an extraordinary job in putting three cities together over the course of the last year to bring to you what we think is a good solution for regional solid waste disposal. I'll turn it over to Patrick at this point.
Good morning, Mayor and Council members. The last time we met, the City Council agreed to move forward with this regional effort that included working with the City of Tempe and the Town of Gilbert. As Mike mentioned, we hired SAIC to assist us with the development of the RFP as well as a review of the responses. The purpose of the project was to increase the market leverage through a multi-agency RFP that resulted in substantial cost savings on disposal and increased revenues on recyclables, including getting the same rates for all three municipalities. Currently, the City of Mesa incurs...
Real quick, Patrick, yeah. I thought there was another more cities involved. Was Scottsdale originally in this?
Originally, yes. Councilmember Richens, the City of Scottsdale was involved, but they exercised their right to terminate that involvement a few months ago.
And maybe you'll tell us why at some point in the presentation, why they might have pulled out?
I can, yes, Councilmember Richens. Basically, the City of Scottsdale felt that it was in their best interest to go out on their own. They just felt that they would get a better rate from the landfill that they go to.
Okay.
I think it had something to do with the fact that they do have the West's most Western trash.
Oh. Yeah.
And they didn't want Met mixing with non-Western trash. So at least that's my understanding of it. Go ahead, Patrick. Go back on script.
So currently, the City of Mesa incurs landfill charges of approximately $6 million per year, and we receive about $1.1 million in revenue for recyclables. One of the things that was in the request for proposals that it stated that each municipality will have the right to select their own respondent that they're going to take their trash and their recycling to. So what we're just pointing out there is that just because we did a joint or a multi request for proposals, we all don't have to pick the same respondent. And as we discuss this further, you'll see the different entities that responded and the different sites that we can go to. We received 8 responses. One was from Salt River Landfill, Republic Services, Waste Management, Right-of-Way Disposal, Silver Bar Land Regional Landfill, RE Community, United Fiber, and Friedman Recycling Companies. And later in this presentation, there'll be some maps that show where those sites are. As part of our review, we did a technical review, and what we're looking at there is just to make sure that the respondents met all the requirements of the request for proposal, that basically they can meet our qualifications and their method of approach, and the sites are safe for our operators to go to. We did that review, and as part of the overall team of both Gilbert, Tempe, and Mesa, we found that all the respondents met the requirements of the RFP. And so then basically the next step is choosing who we're going to go to, and that's based on the price and the distance to the site. To give you a perspective of what we do, we average about 28,652 loads per year for trash. And what this map shows in front of you, in red are the existing sites, and green are the new sites. And so one of the things that really came from this request for proposals was the addition of these sites that we think will help with our operational costs.
Yeah, Patrick. Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Just a question. I was a little confused when I reviewed the presentation. So are the green sites proposed for the future, or they're contained in the proposals that you receive, or are they actually existing today and we don't use them?
There's a couple sites that are existing, like the 7th Street and the Lone Butte. The site that's on the southern end of the map there, it says Germain Transfer Station. That's actually will be built as a result of this request for proposals. What Republic has basically said to us is if we give them a minimum tonnage, that they'll open this site in August of 2014. Now, that date's probably going to move to probably October, November, because all the cities need to get agreements with them. And once they have agreements, they'll go through their building permit process that they're going to go through.
And a follow-up question. When you show the new sites on the different slides, will those sites still exist regardless of which respondent the three cities select?
Yes, Councilmember Kavanaugh. One of the interesting things about our request for proposals, when we ask for bids, we ask the respondents, what would you do if we took you like 1,000 to 5,000 tons or 5,000 to 10,000 tons? Would your bid go up or down based on the amount of tonnage that we send to you? Only Salt River Landfill had like a difference in price. They said if we brought them, if I recall correctly, is a little over 6,000 tons a month, we'll get a lower rate from them. And so just by ourselves, City Mesa, can meet that minimum tonnage to get that lower rate that would serve us better. The Germain transfer station that I mentioned earlier, they want about 90,000 tons delivered to them. Us and Gilbert and actually Phoenix is interested in going there as well, can meet that tonnage requirement. But all the other sites did not have any kind of difference in there. Their bids were based on, it didn't matter if we gave them one ton or if we gave them all of our tonnage. Did that answer your question?
Partially.
Okay. Partially.
Let me ask you this. The annual loads and the tons that's in the upper right-hand corner, at 28,000, is that Mesa only or is that the consolidated group?
This is Mesa only.
That's Mesa only.
Okay. Now, as I understand this, the reason for going out and trying and creating this group is to increase the tonnage so we can get basically two things. First of all, a volume discount because we now have reached a certain level of efficiencies that would make it more beneficial for somebody to take us on, and operational efficiencies, the ability to place transfer stations and other things in a way where all three cities can be more efficient in how we use that. So I guess that still holds, right? I mean, I'm a little confused when they say it doesn't matter whether you go one ton or 5,000 tons. That seems to go against what we just said. Is that one ton or 5,000 tons based on an understanding that we'll have a consolidated total that'll reach a certain amount that is far in excess of 215,000 annual tons?
Yes, Mayor. When we did the request for proposals, we included all the tonnage for all three cities.
And how you may be saying that, but just so we can get a little bit of context, how much approximately is the combined three city tonnage?
Right there, 215.
215,000 is Mesa.
90 some plus from Gilbert and Tempe. I don't have that right off the top of my head, but it was probably about 350,000 to 400,000 tons, somewhere in that range.
They're almost twice what we are?
No, combined.
Oh, combined. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So, well, if we have 215 and Gilbert has 90, that's 305 right by itself.
Scott's got the number. For
Thank you. Okay. This is Scott. He's Pasternak. He's with the SAIC consultant. And what he's handed me is a copy of the RFP. And in the RFP, we pointed out that all three cities' tonnage was approximately 444,000 tons per year.
Okay. So basically, if we were out on our own, we would be bidding a 215-plus, because I'm assuming we're going to increase our tonnage as we grow a little bit. We would be bidding a 215,000-ton contract, and we're saying now we're bidding a 440,000-plus-ton contract, which is to grow, and we're assuming that someone, just like we did on the ambulance and other things, as a regional contract, it would be much more economical or much more attractive to these providers to come in, and they'd give us a better deal.
That was the assumption, and we believe that that actually came out true. Well, there's a couple things as we show you these maps. The one, we think we got lower bids based on that overall tonnage.
Okay.
What I was trying to point out earlier is that the respondents didn't limit us on that those lower rates. They didn't say you have to give us all of your tonnage to get the best rate from us. They're saying based on the all that tonnage that's available from the 444,000 tons from all three cities, this is what we're willing to offer.
So they bid that amount based on the estimate, and whether it's 420 or 500,000, they said we've given you our best offer. And whereas Salt River said, scaled it and said, if you hit 440, it's this rate. If you get up to, and I don't know what the number is, but let's just pick a number out of the air. If you get up to 600, the rate goes down. Is that?
That's correct.
Right. Okay, I got you now.
Yeah. And Mayor and Council, let's also remember there's two parts of this formula. It's not only the tonnage or the cost per tipping fee at the landfills, but they also understand strategically that if they can position themselves for the convenience of reducing mileage, that makes a difference too.
And which is where the transfer stations come in.
Yes, and so by putting these locations, or having them now available, right now we have very limited options because we're required to take 75% of our tonnage to one landfill.
Okay, so, and that's right, Salt River right now.
Right, so this allows us, this is now.
Well, so that leads us into another thing. Tell us exactly what areas of the city we need to come from to get that 75% right now. I mean, are we driving from the Super Red Tan Exchange north?
Yes, sir. We operate. We move trash and recycle material from all parts of the city to meet those obligations of our current contract.
Okay.
Once those contracts expire, some of the recycle contracts expire early in January of this coming year. The trash contracts expire at the start of 2016. Once those contracts expire and allow us to leverage these regional sites, we'll be able to look at lowering our operational costs by using the proximity of the locations to where we pick up the trash on the route.
It'll be a shorter route to a transfer station or a landfill. And what we're thinking is that instead of driving 15 miles, you may only have to drive 4 or 5 miles. Right. Exactly. And therefore, we gain an efficiency, both in efficiency and actual operating cost reduction.
Right. And I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
And if I may just clarify a little bit for Councilman Kavanaugh, these sites are operational now and will remain operational in the future. There's still trash that has to be disposed of, and they handle that process now. But the benefit of leveraging this three-city consortium was we were able to actually get a new one built in the Germain Transfer Station, and that helps us in our westernmost region of Mesa to help deliver some of our trash and green waste disposal to that site.
So you just go due south from the westernmost.
Right, and we'll see on the next slide about the emergence of recycle centers that we had no alternative today to deliver except to the recycle center at the Salt River Landfill. As those come online towards our East Mesa Service Center and our East Mesa locations, we'll be able to significantly reduce the amount of mileage that we incur in delivering recycles to those facilities.
Okay.
And then Mayor and Council, those are right on point. And this is such a dramatic change for us operationally, is that now we're considering even how we are deployed. You know, today we deploy pretty much from one central location also, which means that even if we, you know, at the end of the day, somebody has to come back all the way to one location. So these savings are significant enough for us that we're even considering how we may redeploy, or where we deploy from may also change, and have two different locations just to take advantage of now these regional.
So truck barns, basically. And
some other option than having it in one location, gotcha. Because now we get the advantage of closer to.
And now they all accumulate
at West Mesa Service.
Yeah, right. Close here.
So. At Mesa Drive.
At Mesa Drive.
Right.
Okay. On the map in front of you, that's labeled in the blue triangle.
Oh, okay. So all our trucks come back to there at the end of the day.
That's correct. And the industry term is deadheading, and that's moving a vehicle to a location to pick up the route before they actually have any trash to pick up. That deadhead cost now, if you just look at the map that's in front of you, from Mesa Drive and University, we may have to pick up at Sossaman and Guadalupe. So we have to drive trucks all the way out there to start the routes and then return them to the local stations that are as close proximity.
20 miles almost?
Oh, yeah, right.
15 to 20 miles. Okay.
So we're actually studying what that overall cost savings is going to be. We believe we have a ballpark number where we're at, but Ray Froelich.
Let me ask you, how much how much trash can one truck pick up before they got to head to the fill? Can they do a whole day's route? Do they have to go midday? Does it depend? I'm sure it depends, but I mean on normal. If that truck goes out to Sossaman and Guadalupe, for example, are they out there the whole day and then they hit the landfill, or do they have to do a midday trip to a transfer station or a landfill?
I'm sorry, Mayor. On average, they take a couple of trips a day to the landfill.
Okay, now out there, they probably wouldn't have to go all the way into Salt River. They'd go to a transfer station, or they might have to go to Salt River.
Right.
Currently, which one is it?
No, you're correct. They may go to the transfer station that's located at Santan, where they use that for trash. However, the dramatic changes on the recycle side.
They only can go up to Salt River.
Exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
Let me give a little more detail on that answer.
Would you like some more detail on that? This is Ray Froelich, who's our...
Let's show the green one.
Yeah, I'm just trying to set the stage so we understand where we are now and where we're headed.
Basically, trash routes on the residential side take 2 or 3 loads a day.
Okay.
Green waste and recycle take about 2 loads. On the front load trash, they'll take 3, 4, or 5 loads. It's a bit heavy.
Okay.
So it depends on the commodity.
All right.
So you're stealing my thunder a little bit about one of the advantages.
Sorry.
It's all right. But on
If you had given me the script beforehand and highlighted the thunder parts, I would have avoided them.
Yeah. Because what this map shows you is some things that we're pretty excited about with this RFP process generated 2 new sites for us for green. And if you take away the green from the map, you'll see that when we're on the east side of town, we really have to go all the way to Salt River to dump the green, and then all the way back to get the second or third load, as Ray mentioned. So that time and fuel costs that we're going to save based on these 2 new sites is pretty substantial for us. And then, as was mentioned, with the new recycle sites, we have 3 new recycle sites. One of them is right next to an existing transfer station on the southwest corner. You'll see United Fiber is a new site right next to the RE community. And so when we go there, that's based on the rates that we get from them for the recycle. What's really going to benefit us is the transfer station at Waste Management and RADS transfer station. That's going to help us on the east side of town instead of having to drive all the way to the MRF at the Salt River landfill. And just to let you know, on the map it does point out that we average about 6,500 annual loads for recycle. And as was mentioned, one of the things we are looking at is trying to maximize the benefit that we're receiving from these bids and looking at a second operational center, more than likely at the East Mesa Center. So our next steps, basically just want to reiterate that the key benefits from the RFP were the competitive low tipping fees that we'll discuss later this morning with you. And then that we believe we can secure for at least 10 years. And we have several new competitive disposal and recycling sites that afford us closer proximity to daily collection routes, which provides us operational savings in both fuel and labor. And the next steps, we'll figure out the exactly amount of tonnage that we want to take to the respondents to get the maximum financial benefit from that. We'll meet with those successful responders, and our goal is to execute contracts in late November, early December. And then periodically we'll come before the council to talk about the efficiencies that are gained both from the RP and if we just decided to go with a second operational center, how that is working out. I'd be happy to answer any other questions that you may have.
So when you say contracts will be executed in late November and meet with success responders, when are you going to come back to us to present what those actual...
Our plan of action is to come before council on November 18th.
Okay, so on November 18th, you'll come to us with your proposals for which contracts to approve and everything.
Right. And most likely, we're probably going to take advantage of a majority of them because it's to our advantage to have several options. Right, so that we can operationally access many different locations, because there's very few that require us to have a minimum tonnage. So what we'll be able to do now is determine from a mileage standpoint and route standpoint, you know, where we're going to go and how we're going to, you know, from the different parts of the city. And then that's really kind of what we're going to go. So we'll get the pricing from the landfills. We'll bring that to you. But I don't suspect, except for a few, we'll have the minimum tonnage that will be required. Not like today where we're required at 75%, it'll be much lower than that. Exactly. And that will just give us the flexibility.
Now, the reason they may not require minimum tonnage is that I'm assuming they look at your operations and assume that there will be a natural flow coming a certain way. Is that
with
what
us
you're thinking?
And Tempe and Gilbert.
And Tempe
Gilbert
and Gilbert
also.
Together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty.
And so, yeah, so that's what we'll be bringing you. Those it'll have a variety of guests. Vendors or sites
Service.
That will be providing or getting those approvals from the council. And that allows us the flexibility then to go to different sites as we determine operational efficiencies. And then what we're going to do is we're seriously considering now, once we get that laid out and get those locked in, we're going to have a significant conversation internally about, does it make sense for us with these savings to move part of the fleet to the east, so that's where they begin and end the day. You know, there's some cost. We own the land. We've got we've got facilities out on the East Mesa Service Center, but we could save a significant amount now if we're not having to drive all the way back to Mesa Drive and 6.
Gotcha.
In order to do that. So that's something we're looking at. And then combining that with our conversion of our fleet to CNG, we see both of those being a real positive for solid waste going into the future.
Great. Any questions, comments? Okay.
Thank you.
Look forward to the follow-up or to the report back once we decide.
Thank you, Mayor.
Next item is here presentation, discuss an update on the 2012 Parks Bond projects. Mr. Hirschberg.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. Just wanted to come back, give you an update of where we're at with these projects since they were approved last November by the voters. Before I go to that second bullet there, just wanted to remind the five areas that we focused on in the bond program and those dollar amounts there. Parks conversion and improvement projects, the community partnership projects, the I-Mesa Park renovation and enhancement projects, the I-Mesa New Park Development Projects, and the I-Mesa Bike and Pedestrian Path Projects.
Hey, before you go any further, I don't know if we've seen you since you got the accreditation. I know we saw you in regular council meeting on that award, but congratulations. And
thank you.
Well
thank
done.
You again. Yeah, tremendous honor.
And thanks to Councilman Richens, who I think went with you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give you – go with the flow, okay, Dave?
Give credit where it's due, though, those guys.
Thank you. It was a lot of work, but we appreciate the support and recognition and encouragement to go for those types of recognitions. So thank you. Again, those five areas total the $70 million. What's been great about this program and the way we've structured it and we've talked about all along is leveraging those dollars to receive further grant dollars as well as some general fund contributions towards infrastructure improvements. So we continue to grow that program more and more with those as we look for those opportunities, regardless of which department is leading the project, seeking those grant opportunities to add more value to these projects. So right now we're at about a total of $77.7 million over the 4 years. We are currently in the process of holding several public meetings and stakeholder meetings depending on the project and the various stages they're at, and those will continue to be ongoing throughout, just as this project has been in citizen involvement all the way from the beginning, will continue all the way through the end, and that's been a fun process to be a part of. Four Mesa design firms have been selected to date with a large makeup of Mesa subconsultants on those design teams, and two Mesa general contractors to date have been selected. And again, those general contractors understand the emphasis on using Mesa firms for product acquisition as well as their subcontractors, and we continue to make that a point of emphasis. Update on the projects themselves. First, the park conversion and improvement projects. McDowell Wrecker, this is where we're looking at a urban mountain bike park, a bike park, which will, so a flow track for mountain bikes as well as BMX and pump tracks for younger age groups. We We had our first public meeting in October with 80 people. Feedback was relatively positive. We've addressed some concerns for those neighbors that border the property and have shifted some boundaries and kept everything within 100 to 125 feet away from their property lines, removed some structures to some other areas to appease some of the views out there and allow them to still use their backyards accordingly without interrupting views of adding new structures and stuff. So a great turnout, good participation. The designer is Norris. We're running this one through the job order contracting process so we can keep it moving along, and that's Valley Rain. And we anticipate being able to start within the next month or so on that project and moving through. Hopefully next fall it'll be open.
Hey, Mark, real quick, is that area in the upper, I guess that would be the northwest corner, is that the parking area that looks like a roundabout? I can't.
Yeah, right in here.
Yeah.
Yep, uses an existing entrance off the access road to the well site and just kind of circles it around as a roundabout. It's about 20 cars, I believe, 20 vehicles.
Okay.
Again, some of the features that are on that site, again, this is designed kind of be like a mountain, like a ski resort in terms of skill levels. So you have blue, black, and green, depending on the skill level, and the tracks will get narrower and narrower and harder obstacles the more difficult they become. You can see some of the features that will be there. Again, trying to implement a lot of natural elements in there to make it blend in with the desert environment, so you can see some of the ideas for signage and pavement treatments and site furnishings there. Next one is Medina and Haas. We had a public meeting on Tuesday. We had about 50 people in attendance at that event. And the designer's EPS, this will be a public bid for construction. And this is one of those areas where we leveraged the bond dollars to receive further grant funding from the Arizona Sports and Tourism Authority. We anticipate being able to begin this project in July of 2014. McKellips and Ellsworth, this is the parcel located next to Zaharis Elementary School. This has been a fun project to work with and get the school involved and engage 4th, 5th, and 6th graders working with the school to kind of do a civics lesson as well as a parks planning lesson, if you will, and teaching them the role they play in helping build their community and support their community by participating. So you can see a picture there of us doing a little design charrette with some of the teachers and students there. Public meeting was in October with 83 people. We have another one scheduled for December 3rd. Logan Simpson is the designer. If you'll recall, this is one of the sites where we received a lot of feedback and went through a lot of modifications. This is the current site plan. And again, I mentioned that partnership with the school district. One of the things you can see is we're utilizing the existing school drive to bring in traffic to this site and will help meet a need for the school as well by providing them additional parking, which is much needed too, so it can be used both ways. And a lot of the changes we've made here, I'm happy to report back at that public meeting. Some of the vocal concerns that we had early on in this project, they were addressed and they were pleased with the direction that we're headed. And again, some of the different environmental education nodes that we're looking at and the different shade gathering areas to put in this site. Next one still to come in the future is the Signal Butte and Elliott property, and that one's scheduled to begin in June of 2014. The community partnership projects. Mesa Junior High, demolition by MPS began a couple weeks ago with the exception of the gymnasium and associated buildings, the library, cafeteria, and auditorium. Those facilities will remain. They'll continue to do their fine grading and restore those utilities to those sites for us. And then in March of 2014, the city will take maintenance over that site. We are working on stakeholder meetings, scheduling those now with the different sports groups and various interest groups to get some feedback and buy-in from those groups before we hold the public meeting in February of 2014. So design and construction schedule is still to be determined, but EPS was the designer and Valley Rain was the construction manager at risk that went through the bid process. The West Mesa Sports Complex, or the site specifically focused on Mesa Education Center and Powell Junior High, trying to run these projects simultaneous between both Powell and Kleiman, which is the next slide that we'll get to, as well as Mesa Junior, and trying to get those same sports groups to buy in. We're talking about a 2.5 mile distance between the two sites, so without duplicating services too much, trying to get, again, buy-in from those groups to determine the exact layout, configuration, and dimensions of fields that will be there and the different service groups. Again, public meeting in February, design and construction to be determined, scheduling the stakeholder meetings, as I mentioned, in the coming weeks here. Designer for this site is J2, and the CMAR is D.L. Withers.
So, Mark, when you said that, if you understood that, what that means is that by taking all three of these sites and kind of jointly planning them, we decide where the different, where youth sports might be, where there might be some adult centers. Is that what we're suggesting here, or is it different levels of youth? Or
yeah, correct, Mr. Brady. The idea would be, do they become shared use fields that go between youth in early afternoon and then adult in the evening, or do we make one complex adult sports primarily and another site primarily youth sports? We have some different ideas on that and some different ways to configure those sites and have that discussion, but we want to have that discussion with those community youth groups first before we commit to anything and give that direction and that feedback from those meetings to the designers so that they can continue to move forward and present different options and layouts.
Okay. Councilmember Luna?
Mark, will the students from the Mesa Education Center be able to take advantage of those sites during the day?
Mayor, Councilmember Luna, yes, that's part of our IGA, our standing IGA with the school district, is anytime where there's an opportunity to share those joint properties, and we do so accordingly. And they'll be, and I am communicating with the school district. Dr. Hogan is the point of contact for me, and we communicate on the different plans and different direction and layout that we're talking about putting
in. And an IGA is still an intergovernmental agreement?
Still an intergovernmental agreement. I'll leave my quarter on the table.
That acronym hasn't changed.
I'll leave my quarter on the table. Sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Again, as we were discussing, Kleiman Park, again, treating those as two sites there. Same designer, same CMAR, same schedule.
Now, Kleiman, it looks like it's an upgraded to the existing softball. Is there a change there, or just they're going to be upgrading and rebuilding? Because those things are fairly old, right? And then converting that open space and that other part up to the northeast into three soccer fields?
Correct, Mayor. This is what was put in the as the conceptual designs in the bond program. Again, we're not tied to any of these, and these may not make the most sense. But one of the things that we recognize is that for softball in particular, these fields are about 75 feet short. So if we can get these to 300 feet outfields, then that'll help us take care of that. And then
I'm glad you're doing that because when I used to play softball there, it was boring hitting over the fence so often.
Yeah,
giving more of a challenge to get the 300 feet. Thank you for doing that.
Anything to help you out.
Thank you.
And then we also recognize the demographics there. There's tennis courts there that are in bad shape and beyond repair. But we recognize the changing demographics in that area and the need for increased multi-sport fields, whether it's soccer or flag or football or rugby, any of those type of things that you can play on a soccer field.
I think the term we use now is what? Athletic fields, right?
Athletic fields.
Yeah. Multi-purpose fields, yeah, either way. Pioneer Park held our first stakeholder meeting on October 22nd. We had representatives from the veterans groups, the Save the Train Committee, Horseshoe Club, the Rose Gardeners, Pioneer Families, and a few others. Obviously, a lot of interest and a lot of various needs within that park. We got some great feedback from them. We're taking that feedback now and working through some design concepts with the designer, Kim Lee Horn. And we'll come back and present those different options and how we think things can tie in. at a public meeting in January, and then another one in mid-February after we get feedback from that site as well.
And that's exciting. I've heard from a few of the people who have participated in that. Of course, everyone has, someone has, people have very strong ideas. Just keep in mind, this is right at the light rail stop, right, and would love for this to be a destination kind of thing. I mean, I would be, shoot high. And I know that the Vice Mayor is, and Councilmember Glover have talked a lot about this since, you know, this is going to be a place I'd love for people to jump on a light rail, whether they be Tempe, Phoenix, whatever, and say, hey, we want to go down there, and Pioneer Park's a destination. Yep. So I think that you have a unique opportunity here because of its position right literally at a stop on the light rail.
We would agree with that, Mayor, and are taking all those things into consideration. That's absolutely why we tried to bring all those groups together to look at those different interests and those different needs that are out there, and then come back and present a formal master plan to both the citizens and council so that we can get some direction. And
one other thing, I want to make sure, I don't know if you've talked to how much coordination there's been with Valley Metro on the planning of that park and ride. I still look at that stretch of LaSueur going north from
from
Main Street.
We've had that discussion.
Okay, because that street,
whether it's Metro or whether we actually just it would get
it
closed
ourselves
off and considered part of the park improvements.
Yeah, because that stretch of street serves no purpose other than to feed what's already there, and I think it would. I think you know, you can have easy access to all the development to the north off of First Street, and it seems like there's a large bit of property. I was there for the powwow last weekend, and you know, that's the street's wonderful, but we're missing out on a lot of space that we could use for either parking or for other things.
Right.
So I hope that we either coordinate, even if we extend, we still need to coordinate a little bit, or we should.
Well, what it may do is if we do plan on closing that portion off, it eliminates a traffic stop, a traffic light at that intersection.
And that could become the main entry into the park and ride with no traffic light.
Right. So Metro's aware of it. Mark's looking at how to maybe incorporate as part of what we may do. So all those are being discussed right now.
Okay.
We just need to figure out, I need to have a conversation with some of the neighbors that are right up there north of that location. Which they have a way out. There's two ways out.
Yeah, we could do a cul-de-sac
so that they're aware of what we're talking about.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
And Mark Alstrom from engineering staff is involved in both projects. So we have that constant link going back and forth.
Yeah, I think that, you know, in the perfect world, it would be nice if the visual transition was almost seamless. That they
from the park and ride to the park.
Yeah, between the park and ride and the park, and that, you know, whether even if there was some sort of separation because we didn't want park and ride there or whatever, that it would be almost seamless visually, and you could easily it would have the same look as opposed to being two very distinct things that look like they weren't coordinated. Okay.
Understand. The Museum and Cultural Resource Expansion. Consultant is working towards 50% design set. The exterior improvements are going through the State Historic Preservation Office approval. Complete design should be completed in February of 2014. And project demolition is currently underway and should be wrapping up, if it's the end of October today. The designer for that is Historical Streetscapes, and the construction manager at risk is Concord Construction. And just an image of kind of the future where they see that headed. Riverview Park, if you've taken a drive down Rio Salado or Dobson, you've noticed every day is a different view over there. It's an exciting project. We're looking forward to being able to celebrate a grand opening with the community on January 25th of 2014. Again, the designer is Gree Pickett, and the construction manager at risk is Hunt Construction Group. You can see a couple images there of the lake and the walk and some aerials of that location. City is actually taking over control of the quad fields tomorrow, and we'll begin the overseeding process of that tomorrow afternoon or early next week. Some of the unique play equipment for this site, again, this was, the idea was to make Riverview with the adjoining Cubs spring training stadium and complex a destination park and a showcase park, and doing some creative and unique play amenities in there. So you can see the big green rope climber Green Monster has all sorts of names we're calling it. We'll stick on one eventually, but a crazy rope climber that is, this is the only one that looks like this in America. The other one is in...
Is that good or bad?
Yeah.
Yes.
Pretty awesome.
Okay, good.
it is very unique and we got the idea from a playground in Germany and worked with the manufacturer to replicate that here. But what's been neat about that process is they're so excited about it that they've made this, the different elements that we, as we built ours, they've created the different elements so other communities can model theirs after this or take bits and pieces off of it to build similar structures.
It's hard being a tough being a trendsetter, I'll tell you.
The Genesis Rope Tower, this is the one we always ask Debbie to look the other way. But this is the world's tallest rope climber at 50 feet, and it's quite the structure and a neat element that adds some vertical height to the location. And then the last picture there shows the rock climbing wall, 300 linear feet of rock climbing wall, very natural looking. The touch, the feel, the look, everything looks like it's a real rock wall and kind of gives that enclosed, you're in your own little space, play space there, and you can see some of the other play elements starting to be installed there, including the Big O swing, and the far back there is a teeter, new age teeter-totter, if you will. And then the rock wall also features a play fort, then traditional play equipment in there as well. One of the things that we've noticed as this site continues to be constructed, as the entire 140-acre site continues to be constructed, is the opportunities and the enthusiasm for possible future development on this location. So what we've noticed is that we're going to have to address long-term parking again at this location, and the best way to do that, as we know with our spring training operations, is through multi-sports fields and multi-purpose fields, athletic fields, duplicating it as both parking as well as an athletic use or a community event use afterwards. So we are going to utilize the existing softball fields. Right now they're a construction staging zone. They will not come back as softball fields, and we're currently working on design to create six potential multi-purpose fields that can again be used for soccer, rugby, football, lacrosse, Quidditch, event space, and then also work as parking as well for spring training or other events that may occur in the park or the Paseo. So we're working on that design in-house and first, and then we'll bring some consultants on to help us. Construction period is to be determined, but we'd like to start that as soon as spring training ends or as close to, so we can keep that moving along and be ready for use as soon as possible, and then we'll go through public.
So, in the interim, we're going to prepare it to the point where it can be used for parking during spring training.
It'll be stabilized for parking for this. But
yeah, that's not
training.
The end product.
No.
We'll wait till they're done, and then we'll go in.
Yeah.
Next spring and summer.
We want to get past this season, and then as soon as the season's over, then we come in and do this.
Now, on these multi-purpose, eventually those are planned to be lighted, right?
We will try to light as many as possible without impacting the number of parking spots that we can get on there, on that location, within the contract of the agreement with the Cubs.
And how does lighting affect that much?
We just need to make sure that we place the poles. We're looking at, we will try to get as many of those fields lit as possible,
okay,
as without, you know, putting a pole right in the middle of taking up four parking spots, because we know parking's a premium with this agreement, and just trying to address both needs accordingly. So you have
I think we're going to talk later today with council about a plan to add additional parking capacity at this site. So
okay.
I think as we get that plan in place, we may be able to address the lighting without worrying about.
Okay.
I think we'll be fine. It's again, fitting it in the budget too will be another issue. And then Mark, along with this one, is the field over?
Yeah,
the championship. What are we? I don't know. The field west of.
It was going to be a baseball diamond. Yes. It is no longer a baseball.
That would be
diamond.
Included in these improvements too.
Due west of the clubhouse. Well, actually, technically southwest of the clubhouse.
Yeah,
correct.
So we'll look. That would be an additional field.
Which, when you look at it, is much bigger than it looks like on an aerial.
Yes, it does. Anyway, we'll add that into this so you'd have another field for.
Correct.
These.
And there are no other plans for that area other than to remain. I mean, this, we're planning long term, hopefully, that this is a sports complex. That one, we have no other plans or no other ideas. That one will be almost permanently a grass field.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
Mesa High Aquatic Center. We have a public meeting scheduled for December 10th. We've had some early meetings with community stakeholders on this location, and feedback was extremely positive and very supportive. So we have been working with the school district, and we are in agreement of location and the number of parking spots that will remain and everything else. So we are moving forward with the design. And at that community meeting, we'll be asking the community to provide us feedback on the different play elements that they'd like to see throughout the Lazy River area and in the zero depth area, those type of things. So, again, the designer is Seamish DeBella, and then the construction manager at risk is Sun Eagle. And this amenity, I do want to point out, this adds to our aquatics inventory with the Lazy River. This will be the one site that has that. That's one thing we're really missing from our aquatics inventory.
And I know that that's important. Lazy rivers are important. Councilmember Luna.
Mark, where exactly is it going to be placed? Give me a location.
Yeah. Mayor, Councilmember Luna, this is located on the corner of Southern and Harris.
Okay. Which would be the far southwest corner of the campus.
Where the parking lot's at?
Yeah, in the parking lot. Taking a corner of the parking lot and putting the pool in.
Yeah.
Existing park improvements. We're plugging away with some ball field lighting, some playground improvements. We received a $20,000 grant for Kaboom for the Porter Park Playground Project. Pequeño Park, Emerald Playground, and Vista Monterey Playgrounds are scheduled for replacement as well. Ball field lighting at Hawthorne Elementary, Fremont Junior High, and Evergreen Park. And then irrigation improvements at some of our larger sites, Sherwood Park and Candlelight Park, are scheduled for this fiscal year. And then we'll be continuing to carry those on throughout the year. Some aquatic facility improvements, Carson and Fremont are both due for plaster replacement, and then the installation of ADA lifts at some of our locations. And then improvements in our recreation centers, the wood floors at both Red Mountain and Broadway will be redone. Still to come in this area, of course, is the Greenfield Park project with the expansion of the urban lake there and the fishing program, hopefully. And again, as I mentioned, ball field lighting and playground replacements, as well as irrigation. The new park development projects, Monterey Park. This was, as we knew going in, would first be focused on land acquisition.
Wasn't going far enough.
The city has now acquired two parcels at this site for future expansion of the park. This location right along Monterey, and then the middle one. The third one, we've discussed with the property owner, but have not reached any agreements there. So we are looking at adding possibly a disc golf course to add some new amenities to this park. We've also added some tree plantings to help create some shading and some border for the neighborhood along Monterey, and I've also installed a parking lot to help get some of that traffic out of the neighborhoods and off of Monterey that utilize the park. And again, the full development of that site and will require additional funding. Buckhorn Bass land acquisition negotiations are currently underway. The city is doing its due diligence, though, through environmental testing. That unfortunately was slowed down due to the federal government shutdown, but is picking back up again. And the asbestos and lead sampling are underway. Again, designer and contractor to be determined, as well as the design and site. We believe the schedule, if we can get these schedules done and negotiations continued, hopefully by June we can start design of this location. And again, another grant awarded for those environmental studies from the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality. Mesa City Center, this is the downtown urban plaza. We've renamed it the Mesa City Center. The request for qualifications was released on August. 18 responses were received. We are scheduled to do shortlist interviews the week of November 18th, and then hopefully come back to council with the selection of the consultants at the end of December. The three top-ranked firms will be picked with a contract amount of $25,000 to complete an illustrative plan and 15% design concept by March. And then, of course, with the group at ASU that's been working on this, staff continues to meet with them on a regular basis, and then the consultants will also have interaction with them to get their feedback and ideas as well. Bike and pedestrian path projects. The Riverview Rio Salado pathway is the designers TY and J2, and the construction schedule is to be determined, but it is under design now. A $1 million grant was awarded from the Arizona Department of Transportation to make that project go further along. And then the West Mesa connector is the designer's been J2, and it's currently under design. Still to come in this category is the Southeast Mesa path. So that kind of gives you an update of where we're at since the bonds were sold late last spring, and I'd be happy to answer any additional questions.
No, we're just having a little side conversation here.
You don't even want to.
No, you don't. Go ahead. This looks good.
Thank you. And happy Halloween. I'll take that as my cue on the script exit statement.
No. We're making a little comment about acronyms and all your...
You're a popular contractor here.
All your contract, TY, J2, yeah. TBD Construction Company, all that kind of
stuff.
They
fit on the slide a little better.
Wait, you don't have to... Don't leave yet. Thank you. We just wanted to say thank you. Any questions, any other questions or comments for Mr. Hirschberg? This looks really exciting. There's some good stuff here. And, as these things build out... I know that the Mesa citizens are going to really be proud of the improvements that they supported. And in many cases, through iMesa, they came up with the ideas. So really excited to see these things take place. And I guess about a year from now, we'll really see, other than Riverview, which we're seeing right now, but we'll certainly see some physical evidence of as projects are completed.
Yes, absolutely. We look forward to some ribbon cuttings and celebrations of continued successes.
This is good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Information pertaining to the current job order contract. Any questions? You should have all received a schedule.
Question.
No
questions.
Okay, no questions. Great. Thank you. Acknowledge receipt of minutes of boards and committees. Have a motion from Councilmember Glover, second from the Vice Mayor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Hear reports on meetings or conferences attended. Do you have any reports? Okay, Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder, this Saturday, November 2nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. is the West Mesa Barbecue Festival at the Banner Health Corporate Center. All proceeds benefit the neighborhoods of West Mesa, so invite everybody out to that. Next study session and council meeting will be Monday, November 4th. Also, we'll be having general plan update workshops next week, I think November 7th. That one will be at?
I believe that one's at Ishikawa.
Ishikawa Elementary. And doors open at 6:30 p.m. at open house with presentations at 7. Is that correct? Thank you.
Okay. We have a motion to enter an executive session. Councilmember Luna, second from Councilmember Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are moving into executive session. Thank you very much.